Fire's got the temperature up all over the camp. Won't last long, though.
Neither will we.
How will we make it?
Maybe we should.
If you're worried about me...
If we've got any surprises for each other... I don't think we're in much shape to do anything about it.
Well... What do we do?
Why don't we just... wait here for a little while. See what happens.
We're the School of Rock.
I'm the Rocketeer.
The Rock of who?
Well, it's called Tron.
It's called a third man.
It's called the Kiss of the Dragon.
Kiss my ass!
He was known as the Glimmer Man.
Looking for the army of the 12 monkeys.
We got a Black Hawk down, we got a Black Hawk down.
He say you brave runner.
Tell him I'm eating.
These drug cartels represent a clear and present danger.
And this year's Miss Congeniality.
I'd like to take his face off.
Authority is not given to you to deny the return of the king.
Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Sound like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it.
Welcome to the lair, Kingston.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Just like you on this island, Dr. Moore.
I hear this, Goldfinger.
Code name? Thunderball.
Why do they call you Dirty Harry?
The Bible calls this day Armageddon.
You are now listening to your cinema.
He said it! We can leave. It's over. Movie's over. As soon as they say... Podcast is over. They said it. It said Cinema Crispy Movies, so we can leave now. We said the title of the show.
No, we can leave.
Actually, have we said the title of the
The
episode?
Do we even know what the title of the episode is?
Nope. We do not. Welcome to episode 93 of Cinema Crispy, so I'm your host, Cinema Crespo. I did say Cinema Crispy, so that's Drew Sagagra.
You said it!
How's it going, Drew?
What's up, dude? How's it going?
It's going, dude. It's
that's
going.
That's my favorite part of every movie.
Whenever they say the title.
When they say the title. No, normally, I'm patiently waiting. And like, especially with like the weird titles.
Yeah.
It's like, man, how are they going to work that one in?
See, now, did they work the title in, or was that already in the movie? And they're like, ooh, that would make a good title.
Ooh. Good question.
Things that blow your mind. That's the name of the episode.
There we go. Now we're done. All right, I'm done. Goodbye.
What was that again? Things that blow your mind?
Yes.
I'm trying to write that down. Things that blow your... We didn't fool anybody because they see that this file is over an hour, however long it is. They know we didn't leave. We're here. How's it going, guys? Thanks for downloading. We appreciate it.
Maybe we should... Maybe one day we just should leave and give these people an hour of dead air.
Or just bed music.
That'd be a little weirder, actually,
that'd be a little weirder.
I think.
Just listen to a very quiet predator. All right, show's getting off to a weird start, but they all get off to a weird start. That's fine.
It's a weird show, Chris.
This is a weird show. I mean,
we're weird dudes.
What are we doing? What are we doing this for? This is all a bunch of jerking around is what it is.
No, it's not.
Hmm?
That is not what this is.
What'd you say?
There is none of that going on during this podcast.
Hmm? What's that now?
Pants check, Chris. I need a pants check right now.
Pants check?
Yeah, I want to make sure you're still wearing pants. Oh.
Fair enough.
Damn straight
pants.
You are.
There you go. See, pants.
All right.
Fair enough. I understand. Yeah, you got to do a pants check.
Yeah, yeah. Got to do a pants check every now and then.
I'm fine with that. Again, thank you for downloading episode 93.
Maybe that should be the name of the episode. Pants check.
Pants check. All right. Well, I'll write that one down. And we'll figure that out later.
Pants check.
Hope you enjoy what we have on in store for you guys. We have a lot going on. A whole bunch of movies come out on DVD to talk about. A couple of new movies in theaters as well. We have a couple of films to review during the box office recap. Box Office Mojo's back. Thank God for that.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know if I could deal with the numbers again.
Yeah, the numbers, that site was okay. The-numbers.com. I mean, as long as the numbers are accurate, that's one thing. But it's not as navigable as Box Office Mojo. They really got that down to a pretty good science there over there. So IMDb, owners of Box Office Mojo, please do not pull that shit again. Some people theorize that the reason, and in case you don't know what we're talking about, last week, boxofficemojo.com, the website that 90% of the movie reporting industry uses for their numbers reporting for box office stuff, site went down for 4 or 5 days. When he went to the site, it went directly to IMDb. And people were postulating that IMDb shut the site down because they own it, and they're trying to just get more traffic going directly to IMDb, and you have to use their charts and their numbers, which is woefully it's just terrible compared to Box Office Mojo. And then people online, they got pissed off. They lost their shit. They didn't want IMDb. We want the BO Mojo.
Yeah.
So they brought it back.
Damn straight.
It was maybe like a test run to see how people would react to the site being gone. And people
reacted poorly.
Yes, exactly. And the site's back. So I think that might have been what it is. IMDb also owned by Amazon. So keep that in mind when you check to see what new movies are on DVD and stuff. That's going straight to Amazon links. And Amazon has a dispute right now with Warner Brothers, and they're not linking to their movies, and they're not getting pre-orders. So it's, it's corporate interests and shit like that.
Goddamn middleman get in the way. The shit I want.
So there's your civil service public announcement there. Beware the corporations who control everything. Because they do, but not us.
Thank you, corporate overlords.
Not Cinema Crespediso. We are independent. We are independent broadcasters. Support independent broadcasting. We got us. SBK Live. Those are our overlords.
Of sorts.
But they're independent, so it's independent.
So we have independent overlords.
We have independent overlords for our independence, and they don't interfere with anything, so it's all good.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, check out other shows. There are other shows like Answer Pants on Rampant Radio. And, there's plenty of great local stuff here in Florida as well.
Forget
That Yo Radio. Those guys are awesome. Love those guys. So download all that stuff. Support the indies.
Swamp Patrol.
Shout out to Swamp Patrol. Big Mike. He was on our show last week.
Yeah, he was.
Thank God for that guy. He's out right now killing
things. So that we may eat them later.
To harvest the meat. They call it harvesting.
I really do need to go hunting with that guy.
Are you a hunter? Are you into the hunting type of stuff?
How about this? I've never actually hunted,
but
it's not something I think I would have an aversion to.
You would like to do it?
Yes.
All right. He'll take you. He would love to take you.
Yes.
A gator hunt would be something.
That's fine. Dude, deer hunt, I don't give a shit. I want to get into the outdoors and get my hands dirty.
Well, definitely we're going to have to hook you up with the Swamp Patrol guys, and you can come back and do Dr. Drew's 2 cents about it. That'd be interesting. Yeah. That'd be cool. All right. Yeah. It's all about content now.
That's a good idea.
Everything we do in our lives is all about content. There's no more.
Oh, it could be.
There's no more living our lives for ourselves. We now live it for you, the listener. And you know what? You know what we do for the listener?
What?
We help them find out what they can watch on the Netflix.
With the Netflix is depicted.
Hey, wait. Say that one more time.
With the Netflix is depicted of the week.
Wait, where's it? Here's it.
With the Netflix instant pick of the week.
Actually, I got
how many times do I have to say this?
I just wanted you to do it one more time because then I was gonna hit. I got a little new intro here.
But you didn't.
No, but here we go. Here we go. All right, check us out. For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week. There you go. That's the new Netflix.
Was that all you?
That's all.
That was awesome.
That's all.
That was awesome, Chris. That was fucking amazing.
Thank you.
I'm not going to lie.
There you go.
That was awesome.
That was the Netflix
Instant Pick of the Week.
Theme intro. We got a few new things for the show. Hope you guys enjoy it. That's one of them. So here we go. Netflix Pick of the Week. We do this every week. We do a different movie on Netflix. They have tens of thousands of films on there.
I know it's on there.
Drew just did this out of the randomizer 9000. He knows it's on there.
This is not a film.
And it's not a film.
This is a series.
It's a TV series?
On the television.
All right. So this is only the second time this has ever happened. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick guess and say it's Twin Peaks.
The exact opposite, Chris.
It is.
Too cute.
Yeah.
Nothing but puppies and kittens and things that make your heart go a flutter.
That really is the pure opposite of
Twin Peaks. Yeah.
Before I start talking about Too Cute.
Literally the polar opposite of Twin Peaks, Too Cute.
Before I start talking about Too Cute, Twin Peaks coming back.
I heard about that.
Yes.
Is it going to be even weirder now that everybody's old?
They're all older. Oh, I hope so.
It's going to be so much weirder.
25 years later.
It's going to be so much weirder.
They're doing a 11 episode run of one season of Twin Peaks. The whole thing be written by Mark Frost and David Lynch, who did the original show. Every episode to be directed by David Lynch.
Oh, more Lynch!
11 hours of Lynch-directed Twin Peaks madness.
More Lynch!
And it's picking up 25 years later. So we're going to get to revisit some of these characters. We're going to get new characters. Super, super excited about that. It's going to be on HBO?
Well, that just means I can't cancel HBO for another however long.
Or maybe Showtime? You know, no, HBO.
Every time I think about canceling HBO, they throw something else at me.
You throw something
it's like, oh, here's...
HBO's good.
It's like, here's some newsroom for you. Here's another season of newsroom. Or, oh, did you forget about Game of Thrones? Because, by the way, it's coming back.
It's coming. Winter is still coming. Hear about how HBO will soon be offering their own streaming service. Like, HBO Go, you'll soon be able to, like, have a subscription to that without having a cable subscription. That's a game changer.
I get to grab HBO from cable?
Yeah.
I get my money goes straight to them?
Yeah.
Fuck the middleman.
That's what they're saying.
Damn straight.
That's what HBO is saying.
HBO, you're fucking geniuses.
Yeah, so...
I love that shit.
So the cord cutting for you people who want to cut the cord with cable, it's coming soon. It's going to be much easier within a year or two.
Seriously,
those cable companies now are shaking in their boots.
In all reality, the only reason why I have cable is so I can get HBO.
It's for HBO. Yeah, and then everything else.
I mean, people would say, you know, your Comedy Centrals, your this, that, the other. Comedy Central, I can see anything that Comedy Central has ever done, ever, for free,
a lot of
online.
A lot of the stuff you watch on TV is online. You may not be able to watch it as it airs, but you can see it that night or the next day.
Exactly.
Some things you don't even need a cable subscription to be able to access,
and
that's changing even more.
Exactly.
So I
can't wait to cut that cord. It's going to be.
It's happening.
It's going to be a great day. Now we just got to find a way to get cheap internet.
Oh, boy. Boy, oh boy. We can move to South Korea. The Netflix pick of the week is Too Cute. And let me tell you, you need a serotonin dump. You need a dopamine rush.
As the kids would say, it's totes adorbs.
Totes adorbs, guys. Too Cute is a Animal Planet show.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's a great idea, too, because they'll pick, like, three different litters of puppies or kittens, and then they'll follow them the first 8 or 12 weeks, and then they have some guy doing a voiceover, and they have all the names, and he's like, this is what... It's silly music. And it's like a dog trying to hang out with the cat that lives at the house, little puppy, and he's like, Rover wants to hang out with Mittens, but Mittens doesn't care. And then Mittens walks away, and Rover's like, oh, and the music goes, boop, 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 boop.
Rover seems to have been lost in the blanket maze.
Yes.
Once again. while his sister, Dot, is barking at the squirrel.
It's the most ridiculous shit like that. It's puppies being washed in slow motion and running through fields in slow motion.
I'm not going to lie, Chris, when you first started watching this... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My natural reaction was no.
It was why? What are you doing?
My initial reaction was no.
You want to have tea time you with your Barbies too?
Exactly. That was the first thing that came to mind.
Fair enough. But then you actually watch a little
6 months later, it just, I get it, Chris. Yeah. I get it. I understand. They're fucking goddamn adorable tiny animals. And they're all cute and fuzzy, and it makes my heart melt.
And you know what? There's so much horribleness in the world. We see terrible things all the time, both voluntarily and involuntarily.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you want to go online and watch ISIS beheading videos? They're there. They're there. You can stain your soul with that stuff, or you can take a little bit of OxyClean to it and watch them Too Cute.
Yes. Goddamn.
Those puppies are fucking too cute.
Oh, they're so fucking
And the show starts with a disclaimer. It's like,
warning. This episode may be too
deep,
cute.
Too cute.
It's like, watch out. There's going to be there's going to be a massive amount of serotonin dumping here.
All right, so there you go. Puppies.
I mean, it really is. It's like visual ecstasy.
Enjoy.
I mean, you just watch it and just... this thing just... this calmness just washes over you.
Yeah.
And everything is right with the world for an hour.
You can't be mad or upset or anything when you're looking at little fucking puppies and kittens. Can't. And every now and then they'll even do like little pigs or ducklings. They'll mix up the animal species every now and then. But I would say it's 90% puppies and kittens.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, come on. That's why they do the puppy bowl every year.
I know.
Right?
The fucking puppy bowl.
The fucking puppy bowl.
All it is a bunch of puppies walking around licking each other.
Should that be the name of the show? The fucking puppy bowl.
I think you might get the wrong connotation with that. Puppy bowl. I'm thinking something else.
As long as you don't switch the order of those words up.
Correct. Yes.
100%. All right, it's so too cute. There you go. Enjoy it, guys. Hours of entertainment there on the Netflix.
And you know,
it's a pick of the week.
And like I said, even though you might not enjoy it in the beginning, trust me, you will by the end.
Just watch it. Just watch it. All right, here we go. Let's get into that box office recap. You know what? I was going to ask you to do this beforehand. Can you scroll down and look for the guest? Because we didn't get to talk about the numbers last week.
See if it's on there.
See where it is on the list, how many theaters it's playing. Because the guest, we saw that movie and reviewed it last week. It was playing in one theater in town at the AMC Downtown Disney. And after 1 week, it was gone. And it's not playing anywhere else. So instead of it expanding, it went from like 8
it's
screens
gone.
To 30.
It's not on the list.
It's not even on the list. I can't even make the...
Snowpiercer's still on the list.
You can't even make the top 60. Man.
Snowpiercer's is in 4 theaters still.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Snowpiercer's still in 4 theaters.
Yes.
Hey, if Snowpiercer's playing in a theater near you, go see it.
But, yeah, no, the guest is not on the list.
Wow.
At all.
Well, that's a shame. I definitely encourage people to try to seek that one out and watch it. I'm a little enamored with the movie. I actually used one song for the that they have on a soundtrack. That was the new intro.
It's good. I really enjoyed the movie too. And now that I've seen that guy Dan Stevens, now I think I'm seeing him everywhere. Like, I'm pretty sure he's in the new Night at the Museum movie.
As who?
I don't know. I think it's him. It looks like him.
I went to last week's box office. The guest was number 48 last week. $47,000 is what it made last weekend. Of that $47,000, about around 20 of it came from you and I.
Yeah.
So we actually helped. It only played in 53 screens last weekend. And now that's been reduced this week. And you know what? It's still only average about $900 per screening, so that's why I got yanked, because no one's... But then there's no advertising. No one knew it was playing.
I was right! Dan Stevens is Sir Lancelot in the new secret... Oh, he's not at the museum, Secret of the Tomb. I
Sir
knew that
Lancelot.
Was him.
Damn, dude.
I saw he's got a beard in the trailer, but I was like, that's him. I was like, that's him.
You just seem like a random guy.
Yeah, no, it's Dan Stevens.
That is funny.
That's him.
That was very funny.
I knew it. Because when we saw the trailer yesterday, I was like, I think that's Dan Stevens.
Dan Stevens is good.
I think that's him.
He's good. So only after a couple weeks, the movie made a grand total of just about $300,000. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of money. But it's a great film. So definitely look for it. Check it out.
And get lost in his steely blue eyes.
Yeah, for real. He's one of those guys.
He's really... Other than that, he's just bland white guy. But goddamn, are his eyes blue.
Those stupid eyes. Those stupid blue eyes. All right, Drew. Let's jump up into, I guess, the top 5.
Numero cinco. We're going to start off.
Numero cinco.
Oh, God. I'm so glad it's this one. Finally, it's gone.
Get it out of the way.
The Best of Me.
The Best of Me.
That new... What the fuck is his name?
Nicholas Sparks.
Nicholas Sparks movie. Yeah. $10.2 million it made. Same as the total. Budget of 26.
$26 million budget. You know, it's a pretty cheap movie, relatively speaking. $10 million opening weekend. Probably end up making $30-35 million total. Tops. It's going to end up making this movie like on Red Money, on a Red Box, on
the
DVD and stuff.
All the ladies
like
are going to get it on the DVD.
Especially, guarantee it. So it's out it'll definitely be out in time for it. They'll probably push it a little so it comes out a little before Valentine's Day.
They'll just, you know, sit on the couch, eat a pint of ice cream, and cry.
Let me see here. Trying to do Best of Me on the Rotten Tomatoes. Ooh.
Not very good. No, it's a Nicholas Sparks movie, dude.
Yeah, but I even think, like, The Notebook was well-reviewed. That's a well-liked movie.
Well, this is his third venture. Now they're grasping at straws. They're just like, Nicholas Sparks, what the fuck else has he done?
Throw it out there. They're just grabbing all his books and trying to make into movies. We have, on the Rotten Tomatoes, out of 61 reviews, only 7% of them are positive.
Ooh.
So we got a 7% score, an average rating of 3.4 out of 10. Let's see what the consensus is. This is actually interesting. At oh, you said three films. At nine films and counting.
Oh my god! Wow.
Yeah, the line between Nicholas Sparks film fans and detractors is clear, and the best of me will change few minds on either side of the divide. So it's more of the same, pretty much, is what they're saying, and it's not going to make haters like him.
It's not going to make people who
turn against him.
Yeah,
turn against his stories.
I heard that very middle of the road.
So there you go. And you know what? I mean, I like Michelle Monaghan.
She's hot.
James Marsden's okay.
I've always been ever since Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I've been like, oh, Michelle Monaghan.
Michelle, yeah.
Mm.
I'm there with you on that one.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Some good stuff.
Good stuff.
Number four this week.
Numero cuatro.
Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
Alejandro.
Weekend gross of $12 million, total of 36.8 on a budget of 28.
Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, sitting at 64% on the Rotten Tomatoes out of 86 reviews, average rating of 5.8 out of 10.
I just don't know how they made a 90-minute movie out of like a 10-page children's book.
Oh, well, how did they make Where the Wild Things Are, where there's like 10 words in the book, you know, and they made a whole movie out of it, and that movie is evocative and emotional and intense.
Yeah, I mean, but in all reality, that movie, there's not a lot of words in the movie either.
No, that's true. Consensus on Rotten Tomatoes, affably pleasant, without ever trying to be anything more. The movie is a fine, albeit forgettable, family divergence. And that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like an extended episode of Malcolm in the Middle or something like that. Like, just a very standard family comedy. It's not going to be, you know, raunchy or bald or anything. It's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
But it's also probably not going to be that that memorable. So there you go.
Coming in number three this week. A movie that we saw.
All right.
The Book of Life.
Ah.
Had a weekend gross of $17 million.
El Libro de Vida.
Same as the total on a budget of 50.
El Book of Life. We did. We saw this yesterday.
Yes,
produced by Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
Written and directed by this fellow named Jorge Gutierrez.
Gutierrez.
And yeah, so we saw this movie. Animated film. In 3D, but we saw it in 2D.
Yeah, I don't know about this.
Don't need that.
That and every once in a while, those 3D glasses kind of make me sick.
It's a waste. Oh, yeah, depending on the movie. And yeah, absolutely. And it makes everything darker.
Yeah.
And this movie's so good looking.
Oh,
be ashamed.
It would be a shame to dampen those colors.
To watch a movie with gray sunglasses on.
Agreed.
Gray lens glasses. So, all right, we saw The Book of Life. Drew, why don't you get us started? Tell us what you thought about the movie.
It was exactly what I expected it to be. It was definitely a family film.
Yeah, for sure.
But
PG family film.
PG family film. But even still, there were some adult jokes in there.
Yeah, they did
the
thing where they throw in a few things that are definitely, they're designed to go over the kids' heads. Yeah.
The dirty grandma. She was a funny little lady.
She was funny. She was a funny little lady.
But yeah, the only thing, I'll tell you what, when the movie first started.
Yeah.
You know, and that lady showed up, you know, the lady in the beginning who's telling the story.
Oh, The movie has a narrative framing device where a bunch of like hooligan kids from some school, they show up to a museum for a tour, and they're obviously bad kids. So a tour guide lady, voiced by Christina Applegate, she takes the kids like a secret part of the museum, and she tells them the story that is the story of the movie.
Yeah.
So every now and then they cut back to her and the kids, and they have like commentary.
Yeah.
And every now and then it's funny, and it's very self-aware of like the type of story and who the audience is, and then sometimes just little cutesy jokes here and there. So all right, so what happened?
But you
first saw the lady. What happened?
That lady?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she's an animated character.
Yeah.
Everything is very characterized in this thing. Still, I thought she looked like Giada De Laurentiis. I'm like, oh my god, giant eyes, huge forehead, tiny mouth. It's so that's kind of creepy.
He ran you a job. That's funny.
Yeah.
There's a thing. It's funny you mentioned that. I've seen a lot of stuff online. There's backlash against animated movies that look like this
with the caricatures.
With caricatures, especially ladies with big eyes is a big thing. Especially eyes that are bigger than their hands,
or even sometimes most of their body.
Yeah. That's a huge thing for a lot of people.
That's an
anime thing. I think it's called body dimorphism,
or
something like that. And a lot of people are like, "This is bad because these animated movies are geared towards families and the kids, and we shouldn't be pushing these weird body stereotypes and body issues on children."
Okay, so first off, I have two things. Well, one major thing with that.
Yeah,
it's animated. These are works of art. They're meant to be works of fantasy and fiction, and a good way to differentiate reality from fantasy is to characterize things
like
that.
Right.
So if you made it real,
what's the difference? Then why not just make a movie with real people? Why are we animating anything?
Exactly.
Yes, that's why we don't see animated movies where they're trying to make everything realistic looking.
Well, they've tried that.
It's about the... Well, they do try
that. Final Fantasy movie, The Spirits Within.
With the dead eyes. Yeah. I mean, no, people do try that, but 99% of the time, it is, just like you said, it's art. It's meant to be looking a certain way, certain body parts emphasized, or to create, you know, a different look to create a character. Yeah. So I do... That is my issue with that argument. But I did want to bring that up, because it's funny that you mentioned that. And when I saw the movie, as soon as the characters popped up, I was like, oh, shit, it's one of those things.
Yeah. You know? Because all the dudes were barrel-chested and huge, with tiny little legs.
Yep.
All the women were, you know, they had really big eyes, mm-hmm. you know, very accentuated faces.
Tiny, tiny waists.
Tiny, tiny waists, very long legs. They really didn't do much with the breast parts.
Yeah, the top heavy. They were all wearing clothing, heavy with the clothing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But yeah.
Actually, at the end, the very end, I'm not going to say what the context of the scene was, but there was one shot I noticed where the main girl, Maria, that the way the camera kind of moves over around her, animated cleavage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was one shot towards the end. It jumped out at me.
Like, even throughout the whole rest of the movie, like, they're wooden dolls. And yes. Yeah, she has the shape. Oh, hang on a second.
They're wooden characters, I mean, they're based on the Mexican Day of the Dead, like, art and the wooden puppets that they come up with. So all the characters in the movie, they all look like wooden puppets. So they make her look like a wooden puppet, but at the end, yes, there's one shot, which is wearing kind of a low-slung thing. She's got cleavage. And I was like, whoa, that's a little weird.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, and, you know, like I was saying, I think that's odd because throughout the whole rest of the movie, I mean, yes, they were, you know, the dolls were proportionate for the women. You know, they had
for the most
chests,
part. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But even so, like, she was wearing one of those traditional, you know, Mexican maiden outfits that has that very, you know, it hangs off the shoulders.
Right.
If you've got cleavage, it's going to show. Throughout the entire movie, there wasn't a line, a dot. It was just...
They didn't show anything.
It was nothing.
But they had it at the end.
That's so weird.
It was weird. I was like, whoa, that's strange. So yeah, the movie, the story is about three people, two guys and a girl. The two guys are both, everyone's friends, they're best friends, but they're both in love with the same girl. And the girl's like all giggly and like not playing her hand as to which one of the two guys she likes. I thought that was a little thick of her. I was like, you know, she's playing these two dudes. And and she knows that it's going to result in a friendship possibly being broken, but you know.
It's a classic story though.
It is a classic story.
Good Lord, I mean, I have been one of those two dudes before.
I think many people have.
You know.
But that's the thing. So that's a cliched story, right?
Yes.
And then there's the whole thing about how one of the characters, Manolo, he comes from a line of bullfighters. His dad trained him to be a bullfighter, but he wants to play the guitar and be a singer.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, no, you can't be a singer. You got to be a bullfighter. He's like, yeah, I want to be a singer. So you got that whole very stereotypical, you know, finding your own path type of story.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, his friend Joaquin, he's living in his father's shadow, and he wants to be big and brave like his dad, because his dad is like pretty much a war hero type of thing, and he wants to be a war hero. So that's another very stereotypical father-son issue, daddy issue type of thing. It feels like the movie is just a whole bunch of these kind of
little cliche things
pushed together, and then not really developed that much into its own original story. But it's still done with like enough heart and genuineness. Like, it doesn't feel cynical at all.
No, not at all.
They totally believe in all their cliches and their bromides. You know, no retreat, no surrender. They say that like 1,000 times. Play from the heart.
Exactly.
1,000 times. Yeah. At the end, they're all like, write your own story. And at another point, what was another one? There's like at least 4 different things that like just fucking Hallmark cliche that they're throwing out there. But it's like they mean it, though. They're genuine about it. So I don't want to ding them for that. I don't want to hold it against them.
Yeah.
It's not like it's some cynical, like, here's Madagascar 8, you know, the giraffes of Penguin Island, and it's fucking just a bunch of bullshit to distract the kids for a couple hours and make some money. You know, they actually have a message, and they're trying to get it across. So, but really, at the end of the day, the movie's really worth watching because of how it looks.
Yeah.
The visuals.
Yes. It is fucking beautiful. It is eye candy to the core.
Yeah. When they get to the land of the remembered.
I was hoping there was going to be a lot more of that in the movie.
Yeah, I thought there would be based on the trailer.
Yeah.
It takes them about half the movie to get to the underworld.
And then after that, they're only there for like a quarter of the movie, and then they pop back out.
And then they go back, yeah. So that is a smaller part of it. And probably the best part, yeah. And maybe it's a good thing. Maybe, you know, it's always better to err on the side of leaving wanting more, I think. So, you know, like with Godzilla. Apparently, someone figured it out. They timed it all. The Godzilla movie that came out this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Godzilla himself appeared in the movie for 8 minutes total.
Really? That was it?
That's it. It feels like more when you think about
it,
right?
Man, for only 8 minutes, that was a great Godzilla movie.
Goddamn memorable 8 minutes, right? Leave him wanting more. So definitely err on that side.
My favorite part is when he's got the motherfucker's head at the end. Yeah. Like, after he
and he's like
destroyed him, he just holds up his decapitated head and is just like,
victory!
So awesome.
Godzilla is awesome. But in the Book of Life, like, it has some moments in there where, especially when they're in the underworld, he has to, like, when he gets to the cave, like, what is it, a cave of souls or something, and he has to get past the giant gatekeeper, and he's like, prepare to be judged, like, step forward. Or no, he had to pass a test that would allow him to be judged.
Yeah.
And then you're running that crazy maze thing. It's like that maze game with the balls in there, but he's like running around it like it was life size. It was super cool. And the and then when he had to face his fears, and he had to go against 1,000 skeleton bulls, and then all the skeleton bulls
turned into one giant one.
Yes. And then at one point it was on fire.
Oh, that was so awesome.
That was pretty dope. And a lot of stuff like that. It's like, whoa, this is crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know, like visually, this stuff is intense. Mm-hmm. So I liked it. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I would definitely say, you know, and also because there's really, it's what, that and Alexander and the Horrible, Ugly, whatever day. It's either that or that movie. Those are your two family movies out right now.
Box Trolls is still out, too.
And the Box Trolls. So families, you have the Box Trolls, Book of Life, Alexander .. Day, and Gone Girl. So take the kids to go see Gone Girl. If you've already seen that, then go see The Book of Life, I think. I think it's actually worth checking out in a theater. If not, you know, definitely DVD or something like that. What about you, Drew?
I mean, if you're, you know, into animated movies and you like, you know, eye candy, I mean, obviously this is one of those must-sees. But, yeah, I mean, personally, I would like to see it in the theater. This is the type of movie that I like to see in theaters. I like the big screen. I like the big sound, the big colors, the big everything.
A lot of details in some of those shots. So it's nice to have the big screen where you can really see everything.
Exactly.
Trying to watch on your phone or something.
Yeah. No, this is definitely not. I mean, you could watch on your phone, but man, you'd be missing a lot.
Yeah, you would.
So, you know, I'd say the biggest screen you care to see it on.
There you go. Let's see what they said on Rotten Tomatoes. Out of 68 reviews, 79% of them are positive. An average rating is 7.1 out of 10. That's pretty much what I would... 7 out of 10?
Mm-hmm.
I would go with that. The consensus. The Book of Life's gorgeous animation is a treat, but it's a pity that its story lacks the same level of craft and detail that its thrilling visuals provide. See? We said the same thing.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes, you're worthless.
We are Rotten Tomatoes.
We are. But we're not, though. Don't sue us.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
Coming up number two this week, Gone Girl made an additional $17.8 million.
Adios, chica.
A total of 107 on a budget of 61.
That's called making money.
Oh, hell yeah.
Breaking $100 million, I think that might only be David Fincher's third $100 million film.
Yeah.
After Curious Case of Benjamin Button and Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I'm going to just double check that real quick. Let's see here. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo made $102 million. So already surpassed that. Benjamin Button, $127. Mm. So it looks like it might pass Benjamin Button. Oh, Seven made exactly $100 million back in 1995.
Okay.
It's kind of a big deal back then. And Social Network, 96. Panic Room, 96. So definitely on the upper end of the David Fincher ceiling there. I wonder if that will have any sort of international appeal, a movie like this. It's just an American drama thriller. You know, will that translate as well to other territories? Well, looking up here, made $94 million international.
Well, there we go.
So it's at 201 worldwide. I would say that's a hit.
Yep, I would say so too.
I would say it's a success. Gone Girl's a great movie. We both enjoyed it.
It was fantastic.
Go back a couple weeks to check out our review. Also, if you go back, scroll back just a little bit on that list of episodes, whether you're listening via iTunes, Stitcher, some sort of podcatcher, podkicker, Apple TV, whatever you're using. Scroll back a few episodes. You'll see that Gone Girl bonus episode where we really get into the movie for about 30 minutes there and get into all the deets. Good times.
And coming in number one this week,
number uno,
Fury had a weekend gross of $23.5 million, same as the total budget of $68 million.
God damn, $68 million. Yeah, it sounds about right.
Most of it was probably spent on explosives.
Explosives, extras.
Probably attire as well. And man, those tanks could not have been cheap.
I read that there's one scene in the movie, not really giving anything away, but there's a scene where a German tank pops up, and they put some text up on the screen at the very beginning of the movie to emphasize, hey, American tanks
were not good.
Completely inferior to the German tanks that were out there. To establish our tanks guys as the underdogs, even though it's a movie about a war that we know the Germans lost.
Well, yeah, but still, with the advantages that they had, it definitely, there were a couple of times where that everything could have changed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, the way that things were going.
Yeah.
There's one scene where a German tank shows up, and it's like an anti-tank tank, you know, where it's just fucking up the Americans. And that's called a Tiger tank.
Okay.
And that Tiger tank in this movie, Fury, is the only time an actual Tiger tank has been used. They've been depicted in films, but they've all been props and replicas. Mm-hmm. That tank is the only tank of its kind still operable, and it belongs to some English museum, and they got it on loan, and they use it in the movie.
Oh, very nice.
And technically, that tank is actually not fit for that period. The movie takes place spring 1945, the end of the war. That tank was one of the first designs of the Tiger One, and by 45, that model was decommissioned, and they were on more advanced Tiger models, but they didn't have any of those available, so they just used that one. You know, mm-hmm. It's like the whole movie fudging thing. You use what you can get, and hopefully most people won't notice that. And most people won't notice something like that. You, obviously, we're just watching a movie. It's just tanks on tanks. Yeah. Like, holy shit, this is crazy.
Oh, my God.
You want to see what happens to a person's head when it gets hit by tank fire?
I could tell you. There's nothing left of it.
It happens fast.
There's nothing left of it. It's gone.
You want to see what it looks like when bodies get turned into meat?
This is your movie.
This is your movie. Within the first 15 minutes of this movie.
Or if you want to see tanks get turned into Swiss cheese with fire inside of them.
Oof. Ooh.
So much fire inside.
Ooh, boy. Scary. So scary. If you want to see... All right, here's some of the things you see in the first 15 minutes of Fury. A guy gets totally just stabbed in the eye and murdered.
Yes.
Via eye stabbing.
Yes.
Another guy gets set on fire and shoots himself to stop the pain.
Yes.
Child soldiers get gunned down.
People get run over by tanks.
People are run over and flattened Looney Tunes style by tanks. There's an old woman harvesting meat from a
dead horse.
Blown apart horse.
Yes.
Piles. Piles of fucked up dismembered bodies being bulldozed in the pits.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And, my favorite, when you see a piece of a guy's face on the seat from where he
eyeball
had his head
intact.
Blown off. Eyeball intact from where he had his head blown off.
Yeah, all there is face, skin, and eyeball inside.
Here's an eighth of this guy's face. That's the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's an unrelenting fucking movie. And you know what? It's a war movie.
War sucks.
I mean, what are we supposed to? Are we supposed to feel good about this war? Are we supposed to feel good about all the violence? Obviously, this movie doesn't think we should.
No,
David Ayer does not. Writer director does not think we should be all rah rah, sisoom bah. Let's go to war.
Yeah, no,
it's definitely a movie about the tragedy of war.
Well, war is a tragedy, Chris.
It's horrible.
It's the way it is.
It changes people for the worse. But then at the same time, the movie does also kind of revel in the brotherhood bonding of the men that go to war.
Well, I mean, that's the way it works. You know, you go through fucking hell and back with somebody, and there's a connection there that you can never break.
Yeah, you're going to be bonded, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's something that it's... And, you know, it's fitting that the whole movie is gray. It's just gray, cloud cover, everything's muddy, because the movie is about the shades of gray. I mean, our main characters, essentially Brad Pitt. It's him and the kid, or your two main characters. Brad Pitt's the tank leader.
Yeah.
And he'll fucking shoot Germans in the back, you know, prisoners of war. He'll shoot them instead of taking them in as prisoners, what you're supposed to do. And he'll do shit like that. But then he's very kind to, villagers. Yeah. And, you know, and he tries to be nice to his men, even when they're dicks to him. He puts up with it for as long as he can. It's a complicated, complex character.
You know, definitely.
And that's what happens with war. Not everyone's going to be a complete douche.
Yeah, no.
I found it interesting that Shia played a Jesus guy. He's a Jesus lover.
And, you know, I actually quite liked him in this movie.
He was good.
And for some reason, in 1945, the child rape stash doesn't look so child rapey.
Yeah, because everyone had stashes like that back then.
Yeah, exactly.
You expect that stash from that time period.
It's weird, but if you had that stash nowadays, it'd be like, child molester.
Yeah. That's true. That's very, very true. But he was good. Michael Pena was great, as always. Yeah. I'm a Michael Pena fan. That dude from Walking Dead was okay. Shane... Burndall.
He really,
or no, Shane's the name of the character from Walking Dead. Yeah. His name was something.
Whatever he played, he plays a dumb redneck really well
for the most part. Yeah, that's what he's doing.
He's not a dumb redneck, which is I think why I was even more impressed by the dumb redneck.
Yeah, I've seen him play in other types of characters. Yeah. Like that, there's that boxing movie, the Nero Stallone one that he's in, and he's just like
a guy.
He's just like a meathead kind of guy. But in this one, he's definitely like a dumb, crazy redneck type dude. Who, again, he's like just like all the other characters. At first, you think you know him because he acts like a complete dick. And then he has one scene where
it's like, oh, goddamn, seriously, you're human after all?
Yeah. he lets some of his actual emotions out. I'm like, oh, man, okay, yeah. Here comes that gray.
Yeah.
Here comes all that gray. But it's such a fucking unrelenting movie, man. It's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
It is brutal. Like, first off, danger. Any second. That's the thing. The movie's over 2 hours.
Yes.
Did not feel like that for me.
It went by pretty quick, actually.
For me, when the movie was over, I was like, is that movie under 2 hours? And then I looked at the runtime. I was like, no, that was 2 hours and 10-15 minutes. It's a little long. But I think it's because, apart from that one scene in the middle where they're at the village after, you know, the little battle that they're in subsides and they have some time to, like, get their shit together. Brad Pitt's character has a chance to shave and clean himself for maybe the first time in who knows how long. But outside of that scene, there is practically no moment where nothing... It's like you feel like anything can happen. Like the tank of people are going down, the tank column is going down the road, and any second you can expect someone to get fucking shot in the face, a tank get blown up, anything. A landmine. It's danger is around every corner in this movie. So it makes for a tense film, and it just made, for me, it made it go by pretty quickly. And then by the time they got to the end of the movie, where it's like... They're making their stand, and like they show in the trailer, you know? I was like, damn, we're at this point already? Like, it felt fast to me that we were already there. I did have one problem with the movie, though.
Okay.
That I think keeps it from being...
amazing?
Yeah.
Like that next level shit?
Yeah, like this is, I'm like, oh my God, you know? And this is what I think it is. So, like I said, Brad Pitt's the main character, but then you also got the kid, Logan Lerman.
And it, I mean...
A.K.A. Percy Jackson.
I mean...
It's Percy Jackson.
I mean, it's almost like that, you know, that No Country for Old Men thing.
Oh, that what the main character is?
Where you're following, there's almost two main characters.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, Brad Pitt is the main character, but for all intents and purposes...
The kid is the one with the biggest arc.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the kid shows up, he got drafted and put into a typist pool, and then they pulled him out and put him on the front
in
line
tank.
In a tank. And he's like,
I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. Yeah, what the hell's a tank?
He doesn't want to be there, you know? He doesn't want to have to kill people. That's the last thing he wants to do. So the obviously movie is then about him losing his innocence and, you know, how war will change a person. So he's supposed to be the example of you go into a war, you can be all like sunshine and snowflakes,
but
and
I'm a great Christian,
but then you come out dirty, yelling, die, motherfucking Nazis, you're that type of guy. My problem with that, his character goes through that transformation. In the beginning, he's told, like, you got to kill these Germans. He's like, I don't want to do it. Kill me instead. By the end, he's machine gunning them, and he's yelling, motherfucking Nazis, you know? Like, he's pissed at them. But that happens so fast. And by that, I mean, in the movie, I'm pretty sure the whole story takes place over the course of maybe 48 hours.
It seems like it, yeah. They
never showed him... going to bed.
No.
They only showed the sun going down at the end, but the movie didn't take place over the course of one day.
Yeah, no, I mean, they traveled too far
Yeah, they did travel too far for that, and there were too many stops along the way. But it definitely felt like maybe 2 days tops.
Yeah.
You know, at the max. Maybe 2.5. That's not enough time for someone to
change so much.
Yeah. It's shorthand. It definitely feels like the movie should have been about these guys over the course of a week, a month, maybe a year.
Yeah.
Then you really see, like, now you feel the passage of time. I had the same problem with that movie, 30 Days of Night, where it's supposed to be a movie about 30 days, and it feels like the whole movie takes place over the course of one night. Yeah. Maybe 6 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, no one even grows any facial hair.
Nope.
And they're all stuck in a house somewhere, and they can't do nothing. And by the end of the movie, Josh Hartnett has, like, 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's... Stuff like that is annoying. The details, you know? So it feels like if they took more time to develop that stuff, really let us develop this character, then it would have been more more impactful.
Mm-hmm.
But as it is, you know, it's still good. It's a war movie. Don't go to it for it. It's not a feel good movie of the year.
No, it is not too cute.
It is not too cute. That's the thing. After you watch Fury, you're gonna want to watch Too Cute.
Yeah.
So
you're gonna need to cleanse yourself.
Is it something that you want to go run out and see it in the theater? I mean, it's definitely a good movie and it's worth seeing in a theater. But you don't got to run out to go see it. If you're really not interested, I'm not here to convince you to go see it.
I mean, the way I see, I think it's one of the better war movies.
Oh yeah,
because it's more real.
They're going for the realism of war, the horrors of war.
Yeah.
But then that's the thing. That's not that entertaining to watch. Movie has gallows humor, you know,
totally
all the humor.
Best job I ever had, Chris.
Yeah, shit like that. Exactly, shit like that. So, you know, it's something like a matinee type of thing, I would say. DVD, obviously, red box. If you don't get to see it in the theater, and it is on DVD, definitely check it out. Everyone's good in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we said, Shia's good, which is like, hey, Shia.
Actually,
it pisses me off a little. It's like, come on, Shia, get your shit together. Be in some good movies.
Because you can do it.
You can do it. You got talent. You should be able to do this shit. You know, if we can get good performances out of Channing fucking Tatum, who came to this after he got found at a strip club in Tampa, you, who've been doing this since you were a kid, you should be fucking nailing it right now.
Yeah.
And instead, you're a goddamn... drugged up psycho. Fucking get your shit together, Shia. Alright, here we go. So that was it. That was our top five. Oh, by the way, Rotten Tomatoes, let's see what they say about Fury.
Probably the same thing we just did.
Oh, Fury's a different movie. Fury. We're looking at 80% positive out of 143 reviews. That's a big sample size. Overall, Fury is well acted, suitably raw depiction of the horrors of war, visceral battle scenes. Doesn't quite live up to its larger ambitions. So again, that's pretty much what we see. New movies coming out on DVD. Funny that Snowpiercer is still playing in 4 theaters. Because it's coming out on DVD on Tuesday. I'm definitely looking forward to revisiting that one. Also coming out on DVD, The Purge Anarchy, which is a movie that I liked it for what it was. I liked it a lot more than The Purge. And I actually think maybe people didn't give it that fair of a shot. I was surprised by it. That's one where I went into it not thinking I was going to like it, thinking that it's probably going to suck. And actually, I thought it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Earth to Echo comes out on DVD, which is a decent kids
movie.
Wasn't
bad.
It's okay.
It could have been a lot better.
That's another case of they try to show a movie where it's like a really emotional journey of these friends.
And it's really not all that emotional.
It only takes place over the course of like 8 hours, you know. They can't all be the Warriors, guys. And finally on DVD, a comedy we did not see. Maybe we'll get around to it now, since it'll be on the Redbox, Sex Tape with Mr. Siegel and Ms. Diaz. So there you go. Those are your new movies on DVD. Drew, what is coming out in theaters? El Cine!
In theaters this week, we have Ouija coming out.
Ouija!
That stupid horror movie about a Ouija board that's possessed. They're demons and probably...
Or those Ouija boards things. Owned by Hasbro?
More than likely.
I wonder if the Hasbro logo will pop up before
we'll
this movie.
We'll find out. It looks like a big pile of garbage to me.
It does look like a pretty stupid movie.
Also coming out this week, John... Hang on, let's see if I can say it like the way they do in the trailer. John Wick.
John Wick.
It still doesn't sound right, but yeah, John Wick comes out.
I'm not afraid of John Wick. Well, you should be.
It's not what you did. It's who you did it to.
It's who you did it to. We just killed this puppy. It's who you did it to. Yeah. Hey, I think the trailer is cool. Movie looks fun. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing John Wick this weekend.
Trying to think if there's anything else.
Well, the third movie that's on the list there, the Shailene Woodley.
Oh, the Shailene Woodley movie?
Yeah, that's worth mentioning.
White Bird in a Blizzard.
White Bird in a Blizzard.
Directed by some guy I don't know.
Greg Araki.
It says that in 1988, a teenage girl's life is thrown into chaos when her mother disappears.
Okay. Apparently this movie features a lot of nude Shailene Woodley.
Ooh.
Because she's like, which plays a character that kind of lost and reacting, like acting out against the world and shit. So she's being all crazy and having lots of sex and stuff. So if you want to see that.
I kind of do.
And Greg Araki, he makes some movies that he's hit and miss. Like he's made a movie called Mysterious Skin with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which is a really intense movie where JGL plays like... like a dude who kind of gets into prostitution, like gay prostitution, because, you know, he's struggling and shit. And at one point, he gets beat with a shampoo bottle, and it's a crazy movie. And then, on the other hand, he'll make a movie like Smiley Face, which is that really, really bad stoner comedy with Anna Faris, which is one of these stoner comedies that it's a movie made by a guy, by people
who
have no idea what weed does to a person. It's a movie featuring someone smokes weed and then they see like a unicorn and then they start acting like a functional retard as opposed to someone who's like, whoa, man. Bill and Ted gets it. Mm-hmm. Smiley Face did not.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. So those are your new movies coming out in theaters. Let's take a break. Crestwood Disco time. I'm only going to do one song because it's kind of a long one. This is from the guest soundtrack. Haunted When the Minutes Drag by a group called Love and Rocket. So I hope you enjoyed this song. We'll be back with the second half of the show. We got a whole bunch of movie news to go over and maybe another surprise or two for you guys. So stick around.
Oh, when the minutes drag. If we want to go with states, last is Montana.
Oh,
Montana, Wyoming, Idaho.
There's not enough people. Oh,
no, I hate those guys.
But we have downloads there. Vermont, North Dakota, New Hampshire, Delaware. We're not as big in the Northeast. Not really. Ohio's big for us. Well, that about wraps that up. I'm trying to figure out.
So if you're in Montana, fuck you.
What? Damn, I didn't know who was going there.
SBKLiveRadio.com.
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Welcome to the second half of episode 93 of Cinema Crespo. Thank you to...
What was that, Marble Mouth?
Don't worry about that. Thank you to SBK from SBK Live for coming in to do the live Welcome to the Crespo Dome drop. We appreciate it.
As and he does every week on call.
As he does every week. And he's leaving. Goodbye, Kevin. We'll see you on Tuesday, buddy.
Deuces!
Nice seeing you, dude. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming by. Let's get the plugs out of the way. ChrisCrespo.com. Go there for reviews of Fury, The Book of Life, Gone Girl,
The Book of Death.
The Book of Death. Haven't reviewed that one yet. Kill the Messenger. My review of The Guest.
Message the Killer.
I wrote a couple of blog posts about the Mad Max Fury Road trailer, the Inherent Vice trailer. I think I mentioned that before, with screen grabs.
Wait, are they going to have the tank from Fury in Mad Max Fury Road? Is it the road left by Fury?
When I looked up to try to get some Fury images for my Fury article, it was all mixed up with Mad Max Fury stuff, Road stuff. Yeah, it's pretty funny. And then as I was looking through all that, I was like, ooh, Mad Max. That's going to be dope.
Yeah, it is.
So go there for that. Also, back episodes of Cinema Crespo Diso. Links to the show, Instagram, Cinema Crespo Diso. And my Twitter, at I Am Chris Crespo. Drew, where can people find your internet presence?
You can find me at Antihero419 pretty much anywhere. I mean, if there's an Antihero419 there, more than likely it's me.
It's the Cogburn.
Yep.
Don't follow anyone with the handle Juicer Cogburn, because that's not Drew.
No, it's not.
He's Antihero419.
Yes.
Also, I just remembered, hello. Hello, hello.
Yo, I've been trying to get on that hello, yo.
I'm on it now.
You're on the, man, why? How did you get on the LO and not me?
That's how I rolls, yo. Billy D. And he might have an invite, so hit Billy D. He might have an extra one for you.
What about you? Do you have some invites now,
that's
Mr. LO?
That's the thing. Now, I don't know how, if you get one automatically or if they give you one after a little amount of time. I'm going to look online and I'll see. So if I have an invite, I'll definitely send one to you. But now the show is on LO, ELLO.co/CinemaCrespoDiso. Oh, yeah.
Seriously. Oh, yeah.
So we're on that LO. And because, you know, the many tentacled arm of Cinema Crespo Diso has to conquer every part of the internet.
Yeah, yeah, we're like Cthulhu, bro.
Yeah. Oh, hit up Juicer Cogburn on Snapchat, ladies. And it's a Hero 419.
You know, I've been getting some snaps from people. None of them have anything to do with sex at all. It's like pictures, yeah, pictures of cats saying like, I'm so lazy, or
cat memes.
Yeah, but like your own personal cat meme.
Hey, I like making cat memes.
Exactly. You know, it's like things like that, like, or a picture of a hamburger. This was awesome. And I'm like, so this is all Snapchat is, really? Why the fuck am I even doing this?
Because millions of other people are on it, and they evaluate themselves to be like a $1 billion company or something. So Facebook wanted them really bad. Really bad. They offered like $4 billion or something, and the Snapchat guys were like, nope.
Fuck you.
Nope. And you know what? They may have been right about that.
No.
So we'll see. Okay, where are we going to start with? Let's start with our new favorite segment, Billy D's Death at the... Wait, where did we go? Where's the... Billy D's Death at the Movies. At the movies.
So glad you made it.
This will be better than the last time.
It will be better than the last time.
Always better than the last time. Billy D, you can follow him on Twitter at I Love Blood. Also on Elo at I Love Blood. Hey guys, how's everybody doing? I've had a pretty brutal week. I imagine that's how he meant that,
yeah,
to be read.
Brutal.
And was pleased to watch this week's Death at the Movies Ultra Death Halloween Spectacular movie last night via Netflix. I've watched this at least once a year since I was a kid. The movie is The Serpent and the Rainbow. Have you ever seen this one, Joe?
I want to say that I have. I know for some reason it sounds familiar.
Does it sound familiar to you? It stars Bill Pullman and every Haitian Caribbean actor of the 80s. This Haitian zombie film from Wes Craven is, in short, just awesome. It's scary, sexy, sweaty, and itchy. This is also based on a true story. Now, you may be saying, no way. Let me assure you, yes way. The Serpent and the Rainbow is more based on real events than many other horror movies that claim this, even if highly fictionalized. I don't want to spoil anything, but go watch this movie and get sweaty. Stay cool, Billy D. Stay cool, Holmes. Billy D. He signed it twice.
Oh, that he did.
Yes, he did. So, The Serpent and the Rainbow. It's a Haitian zombie film. Bill Pullman plays an explorer or a missionary or something, and he gets caught up with this tribe, and there's like a voodoo ritual, and there's like zombie stuff. Do you remember it at all?
No, not really.
It's an interesting movie. Weird movie. I haven't seen it in a good damn long time. Since, like, the college days, I think. So, but Wes Craven, I know for a fact Billy D is a fan of Wes Craven. So that probably helps explain some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he watched it on the via Netflix. So, people, there you go. That's Billy D's Netflix Instant Pick in a Week.
/ Death the Movies.
/ Death the Movies. / Death Halloween Spectacular. So there you go. Thanks a lot, Billy D. We appreciate it. That was this week's Billy D's Death of the Movies. All right, got some movie news here. Hope you're ready, Drew. Because it's a good amount of stuff. I'm about to hit you people with a lot of information.
All right.
First off, Warner Brothers has announced a bunch of movies to come out soon.
Like what?
They did announce that they're expanding their Lego franchise. Lego Movie, the surprise hit of the year, probably. Except for people like you and I, who already knew ahead of time of the team of Lord Miller! We knew that they were good, and we knew they were going to make a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a fucking great movie.
I mean, I knew it was going to be good. I didn't know it was going to be that good.
Yeah, I was waiting for good, end up being great. They're making next year, we're getting a Ninjago Lego movie. And all of these are going to be produced in some way by Lord Miller, although they're not writing and directing them all. So
I don't need to see them
anymore. So the quality level is going to vary for sure. But you got the Ninjago movie next year. Year after that, we are going to go see the fucking Lego Batman movie.
Well, yeah. As long as Will Arnett's still playing it.
Oh, he's got to be. No, he definitely is.
If he's not, I don't want to see it.
He definitely is Batman for that.
He is.
For sure.
Man, who's that Bruce Wayne guy? He seems real cool.
He seems cool. After that, then they're doing a... what's the other one? They have another like off-brand
Duplo,
but not Duplo. They should do a Duplo movie. That'd be hysterical. But they're not doing a Duplo. I forgot the other one, but then they're doing another Lego movie, and then they're doing Lego 2 and Lego Movie 2, Lego Movie 3, like actual sequels to the Lego movie. So they're cranking those out now. Also, I think I have. In addition to all that, is that the same? Yeah, obviously that story. I'll let that story come off as it is. They announced a whole bunch of things. And of course, amongst all the movies that they announced between now and 2020, a shit ton of them are DC Comics movies.
Okay.
So here we go, Drew. We talked a little bit about the Suicide Squad mm-hmm. movie. I saw in a separate article that said now the frontrunner to direct it is David Ayer of Fury and End of Watch. So
interesting.
That is interesting. What kind of tone of movie are they going there if they're having the Training Day guy?
Well, it's called Suicide Squad.
I guess so, right? That will be the first DC film to follow Batman versus Superman.
Okay.
So that's interesting that they're going that deep already, as opposed to all these other very well-known properties that are coming out. So let's see what we got here. Batman v Superman: Dawn of Just Ice, directed by Zack Snyder, coming out March 2016.
It's Just Ice, Chris.
It's Just Ice, and it's the dawn of the Just Ice. That's gonna be followed by David Ayer's Suicide Squad, mm-hmm. same year, 2017. Wonder Woman.
Okay.
All right, with Gal Gadot, the chick from Fast and Furious 5 and 6. That Israeli chick. Then we got Justice League Part 1 of 2. Part 1 and 2 both to be directed by Zack Snyder.
Okay.
So he's going Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Justice League Parts 1 and 2. Justice League Part 1 due to come out 2017. The Flash, starring Ezra Miller. I know you don't know the name. Coming out 2018. Did you ever see We Need to Talk About Kevin? That Tilda Swinton movie about her kid. She raises a kid.
Oh, yeah, no, I missed it.
He's like, shit. Yeah, he's a bad seat type kid. She tries her best to be a good mom, and no matter what, he still turns out to be like a school shooter, school mass shooter, whatever. That's The Flash.
Yeah.
That kid.
Isn't that kid gay or something?
Yes, he is.
I thought I saw something.
DC's Flash is a gay Jewish man.
On the internet. It's like, oh my, should people be afraid that superheroes are gay? And I'm like, what the fuck does it matter?
Well, that's what the Drudge Report wants you to believe. But when you look at it, actually, as a matter of fact, you're looking at a Wonder Woman movie, and The Flash is Ezra Miller. DC Comics, they are rolling out a much more diverse slate of movies than Marvel has been. All of Marvel's movies have been white men. Even their gods are white, blonde-haired men.
Well, that's...
There's Norse mythology, I get it. But still, you know what I'm saying. There's no... Where's Black Panther?
Idris Elba was there.
He was there. He was hanging out. He was Heimdall, right? But no leads. Where are all the black leads, right?
Well, I mean, that just comes from the comic book culture. I mean, at the time when a lot of these books started out and were written and became popular...
It was all white men writing it, and they created white male characters, correct?
Exactly.
DC has the same issue. They have tons of white men, but they're still going through their... They're finding ways to get diversity in there. You know, I just find it interesting that that's the approach they're taking as opposed to Marvel's approach. Aquaman, Jason Momoa, a Hawaiian actor. There you go. Again, with the diversity. Shazam!
Shazam!
Man, it's like it knew. It's like it knew I was going to say Shazam. That was crazy. Real quick, finish this up here. Shazam, which does feature Dwayne Johnson as Black Adam, 2019. Justice League Part 2, 2019. Cyborg in 2020. That's a black character. That's a black character. And then 2020, it's going to take him that long, but they're going to try it. They're bringing back that Green Lantern. He's at the end of the list there. He's at the end.
Time for a reboot.
And so there you go. That's your DC estimated all the films that they have coming out down the road. Okay, DC VTW. Here we go. You are 9-3, 10-3.
10-3.
10-3, this beast. That's what you get. Flex, pose, Hulk Hogan style, Macho Man style. Dig it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gotta sprinkle my magic spiritus. Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go. This week's game is called Pitted.
So Brad Pitt.
I'm going to tell you the Brad Pitt movie. You tell me if he lives or dies.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
Fury's not on this, right? We don't want to spoil anything.
Exactly. Fury's not on it because we're not going to spoil whether he lives or dies. So here we go. Number one, 7.
Lives.
Correct. Number two, Assassination of Justice James by Coward Robert Ford.
Dies.
Of course, it's in the title. Number three, Snatch. He's making little boxing motions. Yes, he does some bare knuckle boxing.
He lives, doesn't he?
He does live, yes.
Yeah.
Number four, The Devil's Own.
I don't think I ever saw that. I don't know. He dies.
That's correct. He got a 50-50 chance if you don't know it. Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
He dies.
He definitely dies in that one. Burn After Reading.
Doesn't he die in that too?
He gets shot in the fucking face by George
Clooney. Yeah, he does. Oh yeah, because he's the guy.
He was in the closet.
I forgot he's the guy in the closet.
He shoots him straight
right
in the
face.
Fucking face. True Romance.
He lives.
That's correct. Number number eight? Fight Club.
That's kind of ambiguous.
Not really.
I mean, he dies.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, because he goes away. He has a smoky mouth, and yeah, he dies. I know he's not a real imaginary character.
It's what I'm saying.
But the imaginary character dies.
Yeah, okay.
So you got that right. Interview with a Vampire, The Vampire Chronicles.
He lives.
That's correct.
Well, he's undead. He's undead.
He's undead. But they don't kill, they don't destroy him.
Well, no. Okay, he's
his
correct.
Character lives on.
Destroy. He dies as a human being, but he lives as a vampire.
And finally, Troy.
He dies.
That is correct. You
and
got
Brad Pitt dies a lot.
He does die a lot. You got 9 out of 10. So there you go. Good job, Drew. Also, Brad Pitt has been in 37 feature films. How much did they gross in the U.S. box office?
$340
million. $340
million?
Try $2.4 billion. Billion. That's why he gets to make movies and we don't. All right, here we go.
Well, that needs Brad Pitt.
Well, that means Brad Pitt. All right, so off the back of all that DC comic book stuff, and then also not officially on that list, but put out in a separate press release, DC does confirm between now and 2020, standalone Superman movie, standalone Batman movie. It's going to be essentially Man of Steel 2, but if Zack Snyder is doing Justice League 1 and 2, that means it has to be directed by someone else, and Ben Affleck is rumored to be getting The Batman.
The Batman.
Which I like that. I like that as a title. I think that works. And then it invokes the Frank Miller Batman.
Yeah, it does.
Which Batman v Superman, Dawn of Just Ice.
Dawn of Just Ice.
Thank you. Thank you very much. They are pulling from the Frank Miller the Dark Knight Returns graphic novel.
Superman's there at the end.
Exactly. That's where, when they did the presentation at Comic-Con, this past Comic-Con, they had Lance Reddick read a quote from that book, and then in the trailer, the teaser trailer, the armored suit that Batman's wearing
is
just like the suit in Frank Miller's book. And they're also, even though in the book that Bruce Wayne's like in his late 50s, even early 60s, this Batman, while he's not that old, he is in his 40s, and he's gray haired, he's been Batman for a while.
Yeah.
It's a Batman we haven't seen before in a movie. They pulled another detail from The Dark Knight Returns, from the book that they're using in the movie. First off, we are having a full-on Robin.
Oh, is it going to be the red-haired? Man, the red-haired Robin was the worst one of them all!
They're going with the girl Robin. But we don't know if it's... they might go straight up with the red-haired Robin. The thing is, seen around the set a lot...
At least the Joker kills that bitch.
Did she? Did he? I don't think she
Not in that series.
Not in that book, but later on.
Later on, because that's the...
That's a little cliche. Enough with Joker killing Robins. We get it.
That's one... Yeah. No, exactly. Joker likes to kill Robin, and this is one of the Robins Joker kills.
That's a little cliche.
I mean, it's no Dick Grayson, you know.
Oh, no.
So, no Nightwing.
Jenna Malone, who was in Sucker Punch,
yeah,
has been seen a lot around the sets of Batman v Superman, Dawn of Just Ice. Now, is she there in a professional capacity, or was she just visiting a buddy, Zack Snyder? It's been posited that she's in the movie, she will be Robin.
Ah, there we go.
Female Robin. I'm fine with that.
I'm okay with a female Robin.
Again, DC, going with the diversity.
I don't mind that at all. It's just, of all the permutations of Robin in the comic books, that one was definitely the worst.
It's not like I even like Robin all that much as a character. I could honestly go without Robin for all times, ever and ever. For me, Robin exists to die, to give Batman a mistake. Like, oh shit, I brought this person to my world, and now he's dead.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I could totally leave the character. That being said, girl Robin in a movie, I mean, it's different.
Yeah.
From what we've seen.
Oh, totally.
Probably work better than fucking... Actually, you know what? Chris O'Donnell, for what he was asked to do, he was fine.
It wasn't his fault they put nipples on the back.
It's not his fault that Joel Schumacher made that movie. I was sticking with the comic book movies. Guardians of the Galaxy was released in China.
And?
First off, the title of the movie didn't translate so well, apparently. Okay. The official Chinese of the title of Guardians of the Galaxy, the title translates to Interplanetary Unusual Attacking Team.
Okay.
Which is accurate.
Yeah, it is accurate.
It's just a little awkward to say in English. Mm-hmm. Maybe it sounds better in Chinese.
Yeah, it probably does. Things, you know.
But now the translation issues are extended into the actual movie, where apparently the Chinese are not happy with the movie they've been given, okay. Subtitles-wise, translations-wise. Let's see. I'm going to say where it can be. The blah, 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 blah. The China Daily reports that moviegoers are complaining about the awful subtitles for the Chinese release of Guardians of the Galaxy. One popular local media, social media presence counted at least 80 errors. Aside from a lot of mistranslations, the subtitles failed to show the original feel of the movie, such as jokes, puns, and homophones. We cannot help but doubt the professionalism of the translator, said this Weibo user. Guada, I'm not even trying to say that. So apparently, the translation sucked. So all the jokes. Sorry, Chinese, but yeah, you don't get all the cool jokes. And notes here that's not the first time this has happened. There's been subtitle issues in the past with Men in Black 3, Pacific Rim, Hunger Games, and Skyfall. And the studios here do see that as a problem. Because the Chinese film market is the second biggest market in the world behind America. And to prove that, Guardians of the Galaxy earned $30 million in its first 3 days in China.
Well, there we go.
So, even with the bad subtitles. Now, the bad subtitles are probably going to prevent them from making even more money.
Unfortunately
for them. But, you know, again, it's Disney and Marvel. They don't need our tears.
Yeah.
Speaking of Marvel, now we're switching over to Marvel with the Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man. Edgar Wright developed Ant-Man for like 8 years. It was his idea to even develop the movie. He convinced Marvel to do it, and then when he turned in the screenplay, Marvel rewrote it. Edgar Wright was like, I can't. What, you guys changed my script. I don't want to make this movie. So they parted ways amicably. They got... Now, Paul Rudd, apparently, got Adam McKay, writer-director behind the Will Ferrell movies like Talladega Nights, yeah. Step Brothers, etc., etc. He got him to work on the script for Ant-Man. And apparently, Paul Rudd worked with McKay, and they both rewrote the script together.
Okay.
Now, they say that a lot of the Edgar Wright stuff is still intact, but they added their own thing. And actually, I have some quotes here from Adam McKay on the project that I found kind of interesting. So here we go. This is on how he got involved in the movie. Rudd called when Edgar Wright stepped away from the project and told me what was going on. I went met with Marvel, and I was a little dubious just because I'm friends with Edgar, and I didn't know what the story was. And then when I kind of heard what happened, that Edgar had parted ways, and then I saw their materials, I was like, God, this is pretty cool. Ultimately, I didn't want to jump in as a director. I had too many other projects going, and it was too tight. But I thought, you know what? I can rewrite this. I can do a lot of good by rewriting it. And then he went on to add, I've always known Paul Rudd's a really good writer from improvising with him, but I had no idea he was that good. He's really great with dialogue. So the two of us holed up in hotel rooms on the East and West Coast, and I think it was like 6 to 8 weeks, we just ground it out and did a giant rewrite. I was really proud of what we did. I thought we put some amazing stuff in there and built on an already strong script from Edgar Wright and sort of just enhanced some stuff. So, there you go. They rewrote the Ant-Man project. Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, and so is Michael Douglas.
There we go.
You got a young Ant-Man and old Ant-Man. It'll be interesting to see how that movie turns out. They're filming it. They're shooting it as we speak. It's due to come out next year, directed by Peyton Reed, who, if you look at his filmography, he doesn't seem like the ideal choice, but hey, we'll see. We'll see how that
goes. We're not the ones making those choices, Chris.
No, we're not. We're just the ones reporting it. All right, let's get away from comic books into giant monsters.
I'm pretty sure those are the same thing.
Practically the same thing, pretty much. Pacific Rim 2 will begin filming in 2015.
Sweet.
Will tie directly into Pacific Rim 3.
Sweet.
So we're getting two more films.
Giant monsters versus giant robots. I love it.
Pacific Rim 2 is set to come out April 7, 2017. So what is that?
Got a while. Got a long while.
Still got a while. Now, Pacific Rim 3 has not yet been green lit. But I mean, I'm sure Pacific Rim 2, after this, the first one came out, got a good following based on DVD. I'm sure more people will turn out for the second movie in theaters. Now, Pacific Rim 2 is expected to differ quite a bit from the first one. However, 2 and 3 will be directly tied together.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, more giant monster movies, yeah. Right?
I love giant monsters. I love giant robots.
And it's Guillermo del Toro, again, Book of Life.
I mean, it's, you know, it's Godzilla meets Gundam Wing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Or actually, my favorite comparison is Godzilla meets Robot Jocks. I love Robot Jocks. Oh, my God.
I watch more Gundam Wing than Robot Jocks.
Sure enough, sure. But, I mean, I Stuart Gordon's Robot Jocks, for me, is one of those movies where I saw that over and over when I was a kid. Giant robots battling in an arena, you know, with rocket hands, mm-hmm. just larger than life, so wonderful. And then I watch it again, I'm an adult. I'm like, oh man, look at these effects. Achilles, it's such a cheesy movie.
Yeah, it is.
But I still love it unabashedly. We mentioned earlier, Lego Movie made a ton of money.
Yes.
So if you see over here, Warner Brothers, like, hey, we bought the rights to a movie about blocks.
Duplo.
Like Duplo, a Duplo-style movie. What else? What other block-type things can we make out of a movie? Warner Brothers has acquired the rights to make the Minecraft film.
That sounds so awful.
Minecraft. I've never... Like, I've seen Minecraft in culture and in media. Still images and shit. Like this, I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never played it. I've never opened up the game.
Well,
The appeal is lost on me.
It's a build your own world type game.
Okay.
Where you start off with, I think it's like a pickaxe or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, first person view, you got to go and you got to mine stuff and you got to, you know, get this colored blocks for that and this colored blocks for that. And then you can go and there's this whole crafting system where if you mix one of these blocks and one of those blocks, you get something else.
Okay.
Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Okay.
So, I mean, you're creating your... The game is... It's a creation game.
It's a create-your-own-world type of thing.
Exactly. Where...
A SimCity type of...
Exactly. Where the purpose of the game is to create things, not for things to quote-unquote happen, per se.
Hmm. Interesting. I wonder how they're going to turn that into a movie, then. Well, again, how did they turn the Lego Movie into a movie? And they did it.
Yeah,
so I guess we'll just wait to see what they do.
No.
Now, whereas Lego Movie, smartly headed up by Lord Miller. This one directed by Sean Levy. To be directed by Sean Levy. Sean Levy is not good. Not good. Known for making some real
stinkers.
Real stinkers. Real middle of the road type movies that just unfortunately fucking bank. His best movie, in my opinion. In my humble opinion. My opinion is so humble, I have a whole show based on it.
Yes.
His best movie is Real Steel.
God, that was awful.
I thought it was okay.
It was bad.
I thought it was... For what it was, I thought it was fine. The special effects fucking were blowing my mind. Outside of that, his next best movie as a director might be Date Night?
Oh!
Yeah, see, it drops fast. Oof. Now, okay. All right, you ready for this? And then his third best movie is probably Big Fat Liar. That Frankie Muniz, Paul Giamatti movie.
And this guy just makes shit.
Oh, you think he makes shit? Those are his best movies.
Like I said.
You ready for the rest of his filmography?
Sure.
Outside of episodes of Lassie and... what was the other stuff? All right, here we go. Known for making such classics as... Just Married, starring Ashton Kutcher. Cheaper by the Dozen. The Pink Panther.
Oh.
Night at the Museum 2.
Oh.
And, of course, Night at the Museum 3 coming out. Most recently, The Internship.
Oh!
And the movie that's just out now that we didn't see, This Is Where I Leave You. That one with Bateman, Adam Driver,
and all those people.
Yeah, so.
Sounds all pretty awful.
Yeah, right? And he's making the Minecraft movie.
Well, good for him. It'll probably bomb.
I don't know. A lot of those movies, pretty successful, actually.
It's a video game movie, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Video game movie.
It's dead.
Goes without saying.
Yeah.
I swear to God, Drew, as soon as Medea's Made a Christmas, Tyler Perry, I Made a Christmas comes out, we're watching that shit.
So I have
to. So pay off your Oscar bet.
I owe my dues.
But we're already going to start thinking about the next Oscar bet. You
know
why?
Because it's almost time for Oscar season.
It's almost time. Oscars in February, and they announced their host for the 2015 Oscars. A guy who's hosted, not the Oscars, but plenty of other award shows, always to acclaim. A guy who, let's see if we can get this, Drew. A guy who started as a kid actor, and then surprised people with his self-awareness, his talent, his humor. Did a stoner comedy where he played himself, and then he did a TV show. He's been on the front lines a little bit for gay rights and gay advocacy. He's a song and dance man. You just saw him in Gone Girl.
Oh, Neil Patrick Harris?
Neil Patrick Harris, the NPH himself.
Yeah.
Doogie Howser mid. Yeah. He's going to be hosting the next Oscars.
He's a good host.
I think so. He's done the Tonys, the Emmys. He's fucking done a lot. So he knows what needs to be done. I'm surprised, actually, they haven't gone to him earlier.
Yeah.
So he'll be the host now, and most likely, I wouldn't be surprised, for the next couple years.
I was about to say, it sounds like normally that hosting job comes with you if you do well.
If it goes well, they'll bring it back. Like Billy Crystal in the 80s and 90s did it like a fucking thousand times. They did so much that they even had brought him back last year, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
I really liked when Seth MacFarlane did it.
It was good.
I thought he did a good job, but
most people didn't.
Of course. But then again, these award shows, it's like, it's not cool to be like, oh yeah, I enjoyed that. That was fun.
Yeah.
You know, the cool thing to do is to shit all over it. So, I feel like that's what people are doing. But NPH is so cool, maybe he'll transcend that.
Is he going to get any of those epic selfies?
That was all, I don't know, it depends. Will Apple step in and have them like, here we go. We're paying for this. Like, that's what Samsung
did. Hey, look, there's Brad Pitt and Charlize Theron and so-and-so and Channing Tatum, and they're all in the same picture together.
Yeah. Oh, what a coup. All right. And finally, last story here. Interstellar coming out in
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Oh, my God. So soon. 3-hour movie. Just about 3 hours. A little under 3 hours. It's actually a couple minutes longer than The Dark Knight Rises.
That's fine with me.
Over an hour of IMAX footage.
Thank you.
Over a third of this movie is going to be in IMAX.
Thank you.
Isn't that intense?
Thank you.
That is fucking intense.
I still want to see this shot where they strap that bitch to a fucking Learjet. I want to be like, that's it. That's the shot.
Yeah. A first person POV of just like super fast speeds of things flying. So fast. Yeah, it's coming out in a few weeks. Definitely, we talked about this before. Try to see it on an IMAX screen, and then on top of that, double check. Try to find a screen that's actually showing film. A good way for you to know whether the theater that you're going to see this movie is showing the movie on film or just a digital projection. Warner Brothers has allowed any theater that's equipped to show film will have the movie 2 days early. So on Wednesday, November 5th, if Interstellar is playing at a theater near you, it's on film. So, for example, here in town, there's the IMAX screen at the AMC Universal.
Yes.
There's the Point Orlando IMAX. There's an IMAX screen at Waterford Lakes.
Yes.
I think those are all the, quote, the branded IMAX screens in town. November 5th, Interstellar will be playing at Point Orlando. Because they have a film projector there.
We're going.
And that's where we'll be going. 2 days later, Friday the 7th, Interstellar will come out in all the other theaters, which includes the other two IMAX screens, which are just digital projection screens.
Yep.
The screens are smaller, the sound is not as loud, and the quality is not as good.
And it's not 70 millimeters.
Now, you're still going to get great sound, great quality, better than your average theater, because it is a dual digital projection system. They are beefing up the sound. The screen is bigger than normal, but it's not like the Point Orlando screen, where it's a fucking the size of a six-story building, because it's a fucking like 60-foot screen. With 10,000 watts of sound coming from behind the screen, all the little tiny millions of tiny holes allowing for the sound to get through without moving the screen. It's amazing how they do that. Mm-hmm. The technology is fast. So, there you go. All right, well, you know what? We had a guest who unfortunately had to cancel at the last minute. You know, no big deal. But that leaves us with a lightning round.
Oh, I get a lightning round this week. I love it.
Drew gets a lightning round, and you know what? We also get. Got a retooled. I did one last week, but I did a new one. I retooled it a bit. Here we go, and let's get this started.
We give you the questions,
You give us the answers. Time for the Lightning Round.
I like it. It does sound like Big Brother's telling me to do something, though.
Big Brother? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go see where? Yeah.
We do this. You do that.
We're doing that. All right, Drew, if you don't mind, start your own clock.
Go.
Number one, if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
X-ray vision.
Number two, what drink do you usually order with your food?
Beer.
Number three, where did you go on your last vacation?
Vacation at the hostel in the forest.
Number four, if you found $100, what would you do?
Spend it.
Number five, how do you like your eggs?
Over easy.
Number six, would you want to know when you die?
Sure, why not?
Number seven, at what age would you consider someone to be old?
Like 15 years older than I am currently. So it's a sliding scale type thing.
Okay, sure. Number eight, what did you have for lunch yesterday?
Nothing.
Number nine, baths or showers?
Depends on the day, depends on the mood.
Okay. And number 10, kiss, marry, kill. We're going to play kiss, marry, kill. You tell me which one you want to kiss, which one you want to marry, which one you want to kill. Bacon, eggs, toast.
Oh, I'm marrying bacon.
Married to bacon.
I'm taking that bitch home with me.
Married to bacon.
I guess I'll kiss the eggs and kill the toast.
Yeah, fuck toast.
It's dry anyway.
If you got one superpower, what would you be? X-ray vision. I want some clarification on that. Do you want to be able to see a person's bones or just through their clothes?
I want it to be like a variable thing.
You want to have the strength to
I
want to
have the strength. Like if I just want to look at a naked chick down the road, I want to be able to do that. But at the same time,
you don't want to see me naked.
Exactly. But at the same time, you know, if I want to see what's through that wall, I want to be able to do that too.
Fair enough.
So, and you know, I'm okay with the whole Superman lead thing. You know, I can't see through lead. I'm down with that. That's fine.
Not that many things made of lead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially these days.
Just when you give your interview, don't put that in the interview. Don't say, I can't see through lead. Don't say, kryptonite kills me, because then the bad guys are going to use that against you.
Exactly.
Superman, you're a cool dude, but you don't
sometimes you're fucking stupid.
Sometimes you don't really think ahead. All right. Well, hey, that's the end of the show. Thank you, Drew Sakogman.
Very welcome, sir.
Appreciate it. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Please tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies. Know your enemy. I have nothing to end it. I need something to end the show. What do you suggest?
That should have been it. I need something to end the show. End.
Okay.